If you want a title, it's kind of long. Does knowledge trump obedience? No pun intended about President Trump. No, does knowledge trump obedience? And does obedience trump knowledge? Actually, part of this title I plagiarized from a sermon by Rick Beam. Some of you may remember that he was the minister in Amarillo for quite a number of years. In our former organization, much of the changes that they wanted to impose on us was that scriptures concerning obedience was not necessary. In their view, the law of God summarized in the Ten Commandments was no longer in effect, nailed to the cross. And again, in their view, particularly the fourth commandment, keeping of the Sabbath and the holy days. I can remember the statement that they publicized or made, Christ plus nothing. Just believe in Christ and his saving grace, and you don't have to believe anything else. Well, to me, this says we are to simply believe in Christ. But from many of Christ's own statements, we do have to believe what he said. This believing in Christ and not believing what he said just has no logic to it at all. Good works and obedience complement one another. Both of them are required. You all know the scripture to grow in grace and knowledge. Neither one is omitted. Let's turn and read a scripture that tells us that good works alone are not enough. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In this scripture, certainly good works were there, but obedience to law was not there. But certainly works are necessary. Scripture says that we're rewarded according to our works. The book of James is a very strong book, and it's so direct, and it's so strong that Martin Luther wanted it omitted from the Bible because there wasn't any way he could twist the words to interpret them to agree with his own beliefs. James 2, 14 through 20, let's read that. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? People can have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But Mr. Bingham's sermon was on, does knowledge trump good works? What I've quoted above show that works are necessary. But now, does knowledge of what the Bible says trump those good works? Simply stated, no, it does not. Scripture tells us that we are to worship God in spirit and truth. If we are to do that, how are we going to if we don't even know what truth is? The Bible reveals what truth is. It says your word is truth. Christ tells us that we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Again, if we don't have that knowledge, how can we do this? It takes study of the Bible and instruction from God's true ministers. That way we learn what truth and what knowledge is. As Mr. Bean pointed out, there have been some so absorbed in their knowledge of the Bible and then so proud of that knowledge and so eager to teach others that they can forget that good works or Christian living is involved. The Pharisees were guilty of this, as Paul points out in Romans 2:17-24. So let's read that. Romans 2. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and you rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Although the situation may be a little different today, that's been done in the Church of God today. They, the Pharisees, were also guilty of being so concerned on tithing, for example, on the very smallest of things, but they forgot the weightier matters of the law, love, mercy, faith. I want to be clear that I'm not criticizing anyone who has great technological knowledge of the Bible, as long as they have works to go with that knowledge. And then they do not look down on others who do not have that much knowledge. Again, in Paul's writings, we are told that not many are called, but he calls the weak or the common things of the earth. Christ makes a statement thanking God the Father for what he has revealed to babes, but he's often revealed them from the wise, the mighty of the world. One particular subject that is of great importance, for Scripture tells us that it is important, and that's prophecy. But because it's such an interesting subject, some have become so absorbed in it that anything else is boring to them, and they forget the subjects that concern Christian living or behavior. Even make charts and graphs attempting to establish exact dates and times, which time and time again have proven to be false. It's a subject that some can be so obsessed with and then they forget good works, then I fear that they can become a victim of the prophecy that they're so interested in. Again, it's important, but it's not exclusive of other subjects. Let's read one more scripture, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. Second Peter 1, 5, for also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add, emphasis on the word add, to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brethren, we are to study to know what the law requires of us, and in knowing that, to apply it towards living, Christian living, to apply it towards good works. Neither one trumps the other. They go together, which is the correct balance. As this last scripture has pointed out, there's a balance. Each one characteristic is added to the other so that we can become a complete Christian.